You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift, learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we are encouraging young men to grow and mature in their faith. We are addressing Gen Z men, and we want you guys to grow in your faith. We want you to love Christ with all your heart. And so we are in the middle of a part two series about how to enter the kingdom of God. In 1998, when I took my first job as a physician's assistant, I moved to Savannah, Georgia. And I rented a room with a couple of guys in a house that were already established in their careers, and they lived in this upscale neighborhood on a golf course, and it was very nice. I mean, these guys had good jobs, and they had a nice house, and so I thought, well, maybe I'll take up golf. You know, I'm now working in the workforce, and I'm making a pretty good salary, and so I went to the golf club there of the neighborhood. It was called the Landings Golf Club in Savannah, Georgia. And the initiation fee to enter into the golf club was $35,000. That was in 1998. No thank you. I took up running instead. Pretty cheap, just to buy a pair of new running shoes. Last summer, Lisa and I decided to go see Phil Wickham and Brandon Lake, two contemporary Christian artists. And we were excited about the concert. I mean, we love Phil Wickham. And so I was also excited about the venue because it was the newly open Intuit Dome where the Los Angeles Clippers play basketball. And I was kind of excited about checking out the new dome. And so you got to download the app and it's got to take a facial picture ID on the app. And that's actually how you enter the dome. I mean, it's all AI. It's not a scan of a barcode on your phone. No, no. You just walk through this wide entrance area and it picks up your face and it connects you with your app and it just allows you to enter right away. It's pretty fantastic and also scary at the same time. Well, today, I'm not talking to you about how to enter into a posh golf club or how to have some type of high-tech method of entering into a new stadium. I want to talk to you today about entering into the kingdom of God. Entering into the kingdom of God doesn't cost you any money, and it doesn't require any facial ID. Entering the kingdom of God is quite simple. It's simple enough for a child to enter with no parents, with no money, and with no ID. And so we're talking about how does one enter the kingdom of God? Last week, we talked about how there's parental involvement. They are parents here in Mark 10:13, bringing their children to Jesus that he might touch them. And then not only is there parental concern, there's public opposition because in the midst of the parents bringing their kids, the disciples were resisting them, right? The disciples thought they knew better and they were like, hey, Jesus is too busy. Maybe that's what they were thinking. He doesn't have time for you. And so what happens here is in verse 14, when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And so we see really what's going on here is that Jesus is changing the culture, right? The apostles and disciples were opposing parents, but Jesus is opposing the disciples. And he's trying to make sure they understand that children are welcome. They are welcome to come in and for me to see them and touch them. And no matter how privileged you are, how educated you are, Jesus always has time for children. So should you, right? We should have time for children. And Jesus is not, he's not sinfully angry here. This is righteous indignation. And we know that he who knew no sin, you know, became sin for us. But Jesus is appropriately displeased that anyone should think that the children are so unimportant that they can't come to him. I mean, we're all created in the image of God. We were all children once. We hope to all have children one day, right? Most of you want to get married if you're not married already and have kids one day. And so what we see is there's a lot of public opposition to children. I mean, just think about abortion. You know, think about how today I read an article in a Toronto newspaper that was on The Briefing with Dr. Al Mohler, and he talked about how this woman had an abortion when she was younger and she did not regret it. But then later in life, she had a miscarriage and she did weep and grieve over the miscarriage, but she said she made the right decision in the abortion that she had done earlier. And we were just, I was just thinking about the inconsistencies of that, right? I mean, how ridiculous that a woman would grieve a child only if she wanted to have the child, but would say it's okay to kill the child if she didn't want the child. It's kind of like you're giving human beings the right to determine when a child is a child. And we know the Bible doesn't give us that right. But the Bible tells us that life begins at conception, like Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we know that children are made by God. They're made in the womb. And so there should not be any opposition to their birth, and there shouldn't be any opposition to bringing them in close to the feet of Jesus. So again, how does one enter the kingdom of God? We've got parental involvement or concern. We've got public opposition. But here's our answer. Number three, the perfect response. Jesus gives the perfect response at the end of verse 14 when he says, look, don't let them come. Don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Again, we see here the access that children ought to have to the Lord Jesus. He says, let them come and do not hinder them. There's no qualification of someone that would prevent them from coming to Jesus. So if you're a child, you're welcome here. You know, sometimes children don't have access into to important places and to important people. You know, like you couldn't just go walk up and see the president unless you're the president's son. You know, there's a picture of John F. Kennedy at his desk back in 1963, and John Jr. is there playing at the feet of the president, who is likely, you know, arguably the leader of the free world. And so, but this kid's right there. You know, kind of like in my own office, sometimes I'll have my secretary hold all of my calls and not let people in because I'm in my study, unless it's one of my kids, and they always have access. And so what Jesus is saying is children ought to have access. You know, children are people, and all people are told to repent and put their faith in Jesus, and they will be saved. Jesus says, let them come to me. Please note, Jesus is not one of many. He is not even one of a few. He is the only one. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life for anyone to come to saving faith. And so that's why Jesus says, let them come to me. Do not hinder them. I mean, the word hinder means to keep from happening. It means to prevent. In a passage like Matthew 18, we read about this in the sense where it says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. So we think about that verse, but we forget about the fact that it could be talking about anybody who is preventing a child from having exposure to the gospel. And if you're preventing or hindering a child from access to Jesus, if you're not allowing someone to come to Christ, then it would be better for you to be drowned in the sea with a heavy stone fastened around your neck. Again, the teaching couldn't be more clear. Children should have access to Jesus. Don't prevent them physically and don't hinder them spiritually. I mean, you can hinder a child by discouraging them. You can hinder a child by not bringing them to church. You can hinder a child by telling them the Bible's not that important. There's real lessons in life they have to learn outside of the Bible. Even worse, by telling them the Bible's a book full of fairy tales. You can hinder a child by not being consistent in your own walk with Christ. And so this is why Jesus is saying, actually, you don't want to hinder children from coming. You want to watch and listen and maybe learn from them, because do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Let me make sure that you understand that there's something you and I can learn from watching and looking to children, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Why? Because you have to be like a child. while children are sinners and we are told that we are all born in sin and the sinful nature has been passed down from Adam. And so, you know, as by a man came death and as by a man has also come the resurrection of dead, for in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. So we read passages like that in 1 Corinthians 15 and also in Romans 5. So we understand that we are sinners, but at the same time, there's something important that children, even in their inherited sinful nature, there's certain attributes which children possess which are admirable. Let me give you a few of these attributes of children that I think Christ is really pointing to when he says, "For to such belong the kingdom of God." Children are completely dependent on their parents. Okay, that's one attribute. Children are completely dependent on their parents. Like a baby can't eat without its parents, right? They can't feed themselves. Or children also have ongoing trust. And so there's the idea here of that if a child is going to learn to swim or to learn to ride a bike, they have to trust their parents as they learn how to do some of those things. And children also have real teachability. I mean, they're eager to learn new things and to grow in their knowledge of God and their knowledge of the world. And so what Jesus is saying is that we all, even as adults and as teenagers and young men, need to be looking to children to see what it is that we can learn from them so that we know how it is that we can enter the kingdom of God. So don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to wrap up this two-part series on how to enter the kingdom of God.
Hey, we'll be back with more from Dr. Adam Dyson in just a moment. Quickly, if we can, let's call this exactly what it is. This is a confrontation with the lie that the world has attempted to feed us for years, that you've got to clean yourself up in order to come to God, that you've got to prove that you belong in order for you to come before God. And what we're hearing today is exactly why Jesus came, to flip all of it on its head. Jesus didn't come to make things harder, he came to make them clearer. And that's exactly what Dr. Dyson is explaining today, that the kingdom is not earned, it's received. This kind of clarity is exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're not here to entertain you. We're not here to stir up the cultural noise. We're here to cut through it all with the kind of truth that shapes young men. And if you're someone who wants to stay sharp and you want to stay steady in a culture that's trying to detach you from reality, you need Fortis Plus. We tell you about it all the time, and if you haven't taken the time to download Fortis Plus, you need to do that right now. It's not going to cost you anything. We're not asking for your money. We don't want your credit card information. We just want you to be able to have access to 7 new pieces of content every day. Biblical, totally free, no paywalls, no tricks, just real resources for real men. You can get it right now wherever you download apps on your mobile device, or you can go to FortisPlus.org. And listen, if you're looking ahead, you're starting to think long-term about who you're becoming, about who you're going to lead, about the kind of man that you're aiming to be, I want to also point you to the Masters University. It should be on your radar, whether it's their brand new engineering program or one of the strongest biblical counseling departments in the entire country. TMU offers something that's not only academic, but it is formational. It's foundational. And you can find out more right now at masters.edu/manhood. And one last thing before we get back to Dr. Tyson, if Fortis Institute has become a place of conviction and a place of clarity in your life, and we hope that it has, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the answers to all of the questions that you likely have right now at FortisInstitute.org. All right, now let's get back to Dr. Adam Dyson, who is about to unpack what it means to actually receive the kingdom like a child. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Dyson.
Welcome back as we wrap up our two-part series on how to enter the kingdom of God. We just ended before our break talking about some positive childlike characteristics that we can learn from looking to children. Like they are completely dependent on their parents, they have ongoing trust in their parents, and they have real teachability. And so what Jesus is saying in this passage is that the kingdom of God belongs to those who have these kind of childlike qualities, complete dependence on God for your food, your sustenance, and most importantly, your spiritual life, ongoing trust, real teachability, where you follow the precepts of Scripture as you follow after Christ. Basically, the passage is teaching, what do you need to enter the kingdom of God? Jesus's perfect response is, you need to have faith like a child. Again, Mark 10:15, truly, Jesus says to them, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So what do you need? You need childlike faith. If you are not willing to accept Christ on his terms for who he is and for what he has said, then listen to me, young man, you will never enter into his kingdom. You need to believe whatever God tells you, and he tells you through the Scripture, and you need to receive the gospel and enter the kingdom by faith. Entering the kingdom of God is really equivalent to entering into salvation. And the way to enter salvation, according to Ephesians 2:8-9, is for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. What does a child have to boast in? Not a lot, you know, except their toys. What do you have to boast in? Not a lot either, right? We can't be boasting in ourselves. And so we need to look to kids who are, generally speaking, more humble. They know they don't have a leg to stand on in some areas of life and sophistication and finances and things like that. So we need to have faith like a child. I mean, having faith like a child means trusting completely, without doubt or reservation, in God's promises and in his guidance. It's about embracing simplicity, humility, and a willingness to depend on God as a child trusts in their parents. This faith is not about being childish or ignorant, but rather it's about approaching God with a pure, trusting heart. A child trusts in their parents implicitly, even when they don't fully understand why. Similarly, childlike faith trusts in God's word and in God's plan, even when the details aren't fully known. So let me ask you, young man, are you being like a child? When we're talking about entering the kingdom of heaven, you got to have faith like a child. Children are naturally curious to enter into God's kingdom, to learn. They're eager to embrace new truths, and they allow God to reveal himself through his word. Children are often more modest and less concerned about worldly status or pride. And this translates again to a simplicity in faith, trusting God's love and provision without seeking external validation. A child relies on their parents for everything. Childlike faith recognizes our dependence on God for everything, including our salvation and our daily needs. And so a child generally accepts their parents' teachings and instructions. And childlike faith, therefore, accepts God's word and obeys his commands without questioning. This leads us to our final point here in these verses, and that would just be the practical application seen in verse 16. Well, it says, he took them, the kids, into his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands upon them. So we can learn a couple of things from verse 16. First of all, Jesus embraced them. I mean, there is a beautiful intimacy here of Jesus not only wanting to allow the kids to come close to him, he wants to embrace them. This is like an eternal embrace into the kingdom of God if you come to Christ with the faith of a child. Jesus said in John 10:28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And so if you really come or enter into the kingdom like a child, then Jesus is going to embrace you. And he's going to embrace you with eternality, right? Forever and ever, you are his child. And not only do we see Jesus embracing the children, Jesus blesses them. It says, again, in verse 16, he took them into his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. I think that the Bible is clear that God blesses the humble. In fact, that's one of the Beatitudes of Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So children are humble before God. And if you're humble before God, then you receive the kingdom of heaven, which is the same thing as the kingdom of God. But you got to be humble. You got to have faith like a child. You need to stretch out your arms. You know, a children are humble before God because they have nothing to offer except their outstretched arms. Are you reaching out for Christ today? Jesus blesses those who come to him with faith like a child. So to ask the question again, how does one enter the kingdom of God? If you're a young man, I'm asking you today, have you entered the kingdom of God? Well, you don't enter the kingdom of God by being born into a Christian home. And you don't enter into the kingdom of God by being baptized as an infant. And you don't enter the kingdom of God by joining the church or even going through confirmation. It's not by being baptized by immersion. It's not by speaking in tongues. It's not just by having a nice, warm feeling. You enter the kingdom of God by entering into Christ, into a relationship with him, by repenting of all of your sins and trusting in him wholly and completely, depending upon him, being willing to be taught by him, to grow in his likeness. This is what God's called you to do. Jesus says again, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. I hope that you are learning what it means to enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, like a child. I wanted to share with you a quote from J.C. Ryle, one of my favorite pastors and commentators who wrote a whole series of expositions on the Gospels. He was a pastor from 150 years ago, but here's what he wrote. He says this on this passage. Let us learn, for one thing, from this passage, how much attention the souls of children should receive from the Church of Christ. The great head of the Church found time to take special notice of children. Although his time on earth was precious, and grown-up men and women were perishing on every side for lack of knowledge, he did not think little boys and girls of small importance. He had room in his mighty heart even for them. He declared by his outward gesture and deed his goodwill toward them. And not least, he has left on record words concerning them, which his church should never forget. Of such is the kingdom of God. Well, what a great quote, right? That kind of summarizes everything that we've been talking about the beauty of children being brought to the feet of Jesus. Let me just ask you a couple of application questions as we wrap up this two-part series. Here's question number one. Are you more interested in bringing your child to Jesus or to school, sports, or other hobbies? I'm talking to young parents right now, and I'm saying, hey, be careful that you don't think so much about getting your kid involved in club soccer that you forget that you don't have to be at every soccer match in order, you know, to play soccer. You know, but you do need to be at church. And if you're letting hobbies and you're letting sports and you're letting other things dictate your family schedule, then I'm warning you that it may be that you're more interested in sports and hobbies and developing your kids in athletics or in dance than you are in investing them in the kingdom of God. Now, again, I'm not saying that if you've missed one church service for one sporting event that you're in grave danger of doing that, but I am saying if you're consistently making your weekends about sports and you're consistently missing opportunities to have your kids in church or to have them in a midweek children's program, something's off with your focus here. Bring the kids to Christ. A second question I could ask you would be, how can we as the church place special attention on our children without spoiling them or having a child-centered home? So again, just because we're going to bring them to Jesus and place a lot of emphasis on teaching them about Jesus doesn't mean that we let them dictate all that happens in the house. So pay special attention to them, absolutely, but make sure that you are still the parent, okay? And then the third question I wanted to ask to you would be, are you humble enough to learn from your children, or do you think that they can only learn from you? And what I'm simply saying is that we need to learn from children. That's what Jesus says. Look to the children. Come to Christ with the faith of a child. So what can you learn from your child? Or if you're a teenager, what can you learn from the little children in your house or that you see at church? Because I'm telling you, there's something valuable about us stopping and looking and listening and then emulating that childlike faith as we put our own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us that we would learn to do just that. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to read your word. Thank you for the reminder of the Lord Jesus that we want to come with faith like a child, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Lord, we want to enter in and we want to experience all of you. And so I pray that you would give us that humility and that teachability as we enter the kingdom of God with the faith of a child. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.